When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Dell here with you. Lance is off today. Dan Duquette is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5, longtime general manager in baseball. He's a baseball expert, so we're going to talk to him about some of the stuff that's going on in the game today here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, two-time Sporting News Executive of the Year in Major League Baseball. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, John. How are you?
Man, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Let me ask you a question. We'll start with this because we had a little spider tech conversation a little bit earlier. You see Gerrit Cole's numbers way up ever since the spider tech has become illegal. Buck Showalter, he says, man, this isn't funny anymore, especially the way that his guys are getting hit by pitches. How do you solve this spider tech issue? Guys have been pitchers have been putting stuff on baseballs for a long time now, and they can't anymore. And it's certainly affecting the game.
Yeah, I think it really is. And Major League Baseball is looking for a solution. The Buck and I have shared a common vision to get player Brian Mattis that got suspended a couple of years ago for using rosin and suntan lotion. And during the hearing, Buck and I presented the ball that they used in Japan, which has a more tackier surface and the pitchers get a better grip on it. You know, Buck makes a good point. Early in the season, you know, when it's cold, you know, if you're trying to grip that Delaware River mud, there's some serious limitations with that, right? And when it's cold out and the pitchers don't really have a feel, you got to shorten spring training. You know, sometimes their control's not what it should be. And, you know, you can't have the imbalance so that the hitters fear for their life. You know, when you get that pitch up in your eyes, up in your face, that's just not acceptable. So I agree with Buck. We need to find a solution. I think we're going to be able to find a solution for a tackier ball, but we're not quite there yet. Of course, the spider tack, which you mentioned, that upsets the imbalance, right? Because it gives the pitchers a significant advantage over the players because of the foreign substance allows them to grip the ball. and in part, the spin that makes their pitches way better than they should be. So, you know, I think MLB was looking for a solution, according to what the commissioner said, for a grip. It is better than the current grip, but not overweight towards the spider tack, which gives the pitchers a significant advantage.
Well, I didn't know about the Japanese baseball. That makes a lot of sense now when you watch some Japanese baseball in the way that they spin it over there. That's for sure. Dan Duquette joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you think? Because it caused quite the outrage when Dave Roberts pulled Kershaw with the perfect game.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be critical about how a team handles their pitchers. The Kershaw seemed to be aligned with the decision. However, having said that, I'm a little bit more old school, and I have great respect for the unique. The unique nature of a perfect game. I mean, these perfect games, they don't come along very often. And, you know, sometimes when you're cruising, you can just throw the ball out there and your command is so good. I remember watching Dennis Martinez throw his perfect game in Dodger Stadium, and he had some kind of unbelievable kind of control, the kind of control that Kershaw had the other day. So, you know, I'd be more inclined to let the pitcher go. But Kershaw seemed to be in line with the decision. But again, you know, the perfect game happens so very rarely. I don't think you're really putting a lot of stress on the pitcher to allow him to keep pitching when he's effortlessly getting the opposition out. You know, I have a little bit more put a little bit more weight on the achievement of a perfect game.
Dan Duquette with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dan, what about this letter that the Yankees don't want opened? And we're here in Houston, so have caught so much stuff about the cheating scandal, and yet here the Yankees and baseball are fighting vehemently to not have a letter that would possibly expose the New York Yankees. Have the Astros? We think we've been a scapegoat here. What's your thought on the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't know what's in the letter. I know that when you're in a competitive situation like Major League Baseball or any professional sport, a lot of the advantages that you can create for your team are incremental, and sometimes teams go outside the rules to gain an advantage for their ball club. I believe in the integrity of the game, and I believe in the integrity of the league to enforce the rules. And I don't really know what's in that letter, but I suspect that there were other teams pushing the envelope in Major League Baseball in an attempt to gain an advantage. You know, this technology and the way teams manage the technology has had a significant impact on the game, and I'm not sure it's for the better. I think that some temperance on that is in line for the teams and Major League Baseball, and I think MLB has worked hard to clean that up.
Yeah. What do you think? We've had a lot of talk here the last couple of years. The Astros have let go Gerrit Cole, George Springer, Carlos Correa, and yet here they are still up there as one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, and they're proving that year in and year out. Jim Crane has been called everything from frugal to cheap and all, and I don't believe that. They've had one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and yet they continue to win. You drafted really, I mean, your resume and the way that you drafted and the way you put Montreal together especially was spectacular, and the Astros have done much the same. How about not paying these guys long-term big money and just going with your gut and your and doing it the way that you do it with your minor league system and development?
That's a time-tested way to have a good team year in and year out. That's the only way I know how to do it, is to have a strong farm system. And my son was scouting for me with the Orioles when this kid, Jeremy Pena, was playing for the University of Maine. And, you know how partial I am to Dominican players. His dad's from the Dominican, and he was playing at Maine. And here's a kid that can play shortstop. And he can hit, and he can hit with power. And the Astros got him in the third round. So they seem to be doing a pretty good job at identifying talent and bringing the talent along and keeping their team competitive. When we were in Montreal, we had a system, right? We had a system, and our system was we were going to be aggressive scouting on the international market. We were going to sign good players from the draft, and the main source of players were going to come from our farm system. And everybody knew it, okay? We put a lot of resources into it, and that's how we ran the organization, based upon the resources that we had, and it worked. because we had a good player development operation. And teams that can do that are the ones that can compete year in and year out. And, you know, I mean, hats off to them.
Dan, here in Houston, it felt like it wasn't a money thing with Correa. It was length of years. That seemed to be one of the obstacles. And from what baseball has shown us, giving guys long-term deals usually don't work out for the team. What's your stance on these 10-year deals given the guys who reach free agency in their late 20s?
Well, Correa ended up signing for 3 years, right? And he's got an out there with Minnesota, and that seemed to be a pretty good solution. Looking into the future, that you're going to get the kind of production for the money that you're paying, deep into the future, right? I mean, things happen, right? A lot of things happen that are out of your control. And then, sometimes players really perform when they get a long-term deal, but a lot of times, their performance will come off. So I was fortunate to invest in some really good players that played well under their contract. Pedro Martinez, Manny Ramirez, Johnny Damon. And then I had some other players that we gave big contracts to, and they didn't perform as well. So, I think each team has to decide what risk they're comfortable with, and it really helps to know the player. But we still can't predict the future, right? We got all these models. We haven't been able to predict the future yet. So, there's significant risk involved when you give a player a lot of money.
Absolutely. You signed Vlad Guerrero. Did you know his kid was going to be this good?
I got a chuckle the other night when he cleaned out that fastball on Garrett Cole and put it over the left field fence. Vlad Guerrero, his dad, was a uniquely gifted hitter. I've never seen a guy hit as many balls around the clock in the strike zone and put the fat part of the bat on the ball. Now, this kid was a ball player. There's pictures of him 2 and 3 years old in an Expo uniform on the family picnic day, the Father Sunday. He was around the ball players. Now, having said that, this kid is a much more selective player. He's got a much more discerning eye at the plate than his dad had. Okay, I've seen his dad go over into the left-handed hitter's batter's box and hit the ball out of Fenway Park to the opposite field. I've seen him hit balls off his shoe tops and over his head with authority. The son is a lot more selective on balls in the strike zone, and believe it or not, I think he's got more power. Yeah. So, could I tell you he's going to be better than dad? I don't know. I've been close to that family the Guerreros for a long time, and they're a uniquely gifted family. The kid's an unbelievable hitter.
No question. Dan Duquette with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your best trade ever, Delino DeShields for Pedro Martinez, or was there a better one?
Trading for Pedro Martinez is anytime's a great trade. We had a dynamic trade with the Red Sox where we traded Heathcliff Slocum for a couple of really strong players, Derek Lowe and Jason Varitek, and both of them were key pieces in the Red Sox championship teams. When we traded for Pedro with the Red Sox, we picked up the Cy Young Award winner from the National League, and he had struck out over 300. And that's the kind of trade that you dream about when you're a general manager trading for the Cy Young Award winner in the opposite league. So, you know, you'd like to make a couple trades like that. They don't come along. They don't come along every day. You know, it's a couple not so good, but those are a couple of good ones.
I don't want to bring up any bad memories, but did it hurt a little bit? Because you put together most of that 2004 Red Sox team, did it hurt a little bit that you weren't there anymore for it?
Well, I made clear that I wanted to help the Red Sox win a championship, and you know, in my heart of hearts, it would have been great to see it through. But I was so grateful that the players that we got, you know, the core of that team came from players that we signed, and a lot of the players that they acquired in trades that supplemented that team, they couldn't have made those trades if we didn't have a strong player development system. We had done a good job recruiting so that, you know, when they traded De La Rosa and Casey Fossum for Kirk Schilling, that's because of the strength of the farm system. And when the club... they traded over 50 players from that farm system to staff their team at the major league level and win the championship. I mean, we, you know, for four generations, we were trying to win that thing, and we finally got it done. And I was there with my friends to celebrate in St. Louis. It would have been great if I could have been with the ball club, but that didn't work out. So, but I'm glad they won the championship, and you know, I'm grateful to Red in May in their Hall of Fame. So my family's looking forward to that. That'll be a great moment for everybody.
Yeah, the Red Sox Hall of Famer Dan Duquette put together pretty much most of that 2004 team. Being a lifelong New Englander, are you tight with Belichick?
Coach Bill went to Wesleyan, which is one of the rival schools for Amherst. He's been gracious. He signed a couple of things for us, and then our youngest boy, Colt, was born in Annapolis, and of course, Bill's got a soft spot in his heart for Annapolis, and what a great career he's had. Unbelievable coach. And, you know, he he's a coach through and through. His dad was a coach. He used to travel with him as an advanced scout. His daughter's a coach. His sons are coaches with him. And he's got a foundation that promotes coaching. So, he has a great legacy. He's got a great sense of humor. I think he's funny. I know some of the media doesn't appreciate his humor, but I think he's funny.
He doesn't sound funny to us. No. Not to the media, not to the guys who are getting ripped, that's for sure. Dan Duquette.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
Dan Duquette, Red Sox Hall of Famer. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time, Dan. We really appreciate the insight. And hopefully we can talk again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Dan Duquette right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That guy's you want to talk about the guys that he signed and that he traded for and teams that he put together? That Expo team was unbelievably good. I mean, he had Marquise Grissom and he had Vlad. I mean, Vlad Guerrero, and holy crap, he put together an unbelievable team. And then he put together that Red Sox team that won it finally after all those years that they couldn't win there. So that guy's a baseball guy. 921 ESPN 97.5 and 92.4. We're behind on breaks. We apologize. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in on the other side, Gilbert, call back because Dell wants to talk to you. Give us a call, 713-780-3776.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Real fun sports.